chapter 9. And then we can go. Daniel chapter 9. And I want us to look at just in verse 24. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon the holy city. Now, thy people would be Israel, no doubt about it. Daniel was took captive and by the Babylonian. They came in there, Nebuchadnezzar took him captive. He's there. And notice he goes on, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people, Israel, and upon the holy city. Well, I know what the holy city is. That's Jerusalem. To finish transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in the everlasting righteousness. Now, there is no doubt about what the everlasting righteousness of the context is. To bring in the everlasting righteousness, that would be the kingdom. And he goes on, to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Well, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll be anointed king in that kingdom. Now, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem, the holy city, until Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks, 62 weeks, the street shall be built again and the wall even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks, shall Messiah be cut off? Well, now, I got 7 weeks. I got 62 weeks. After the 62 weeks, and you add the seven, how many does that give you? 69 weeks. How many weeks are determined upon the holy city and the nation Israel? 70. All right? Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come, different prince now, that shall come, shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. That's in Titus, Roman army, came in there, destroyed Jerusalem, the sanctuary, everything, in 70 A.D. The end thereof shall be with the flood, unto the end of the war desolations are determined. Verse 27. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for how many weeks? 1 week. Now, I'm reading this to show you the he there is the prince that shall come. That's the Antichrist. He's going to come and he's going to confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. How many weeks is left? 1 week. 7 years, 69 weeks have been fulfilled. 1 week. That begins, the confirming of the covenant begins the last week of prophecy. Everybody clear on that? He shall, for 1 week, and in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblations to what? Will they be offering sacrifices? Yes, they will. They'll start up the sacrificial ceremonies. A temple will be built. Hang on to Daniel. We're coming right over and look over in Thessalonians. In Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians. And notice Paul says the same thing. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God, all that is worship, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Where does he sit? In the temple. Oh, there's no temple over there now. the temple will be built. The Antichrist will confirm the covenant. Has to be Abraham's covenant. He'll confirm that land covenant that God promised Abraham, the land, and that he'll confirm it. They'll come back in there. Now, at that time, during the middle of the trib, he's going to do something. He's going to come into that temple and say, I'm God. Look in Matthew chapter 24. In Matthew chapter 24. In Matthew chapter 24. And notice in verse 13. Matthew 24:13, that he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for witness unto all nations. Then shall the end come. It's not the gospel of the grace of God. It's not the gospel of Christ. It's the gospel of the kingdom. It's the same gospel that they've been preaching ever since Jesus Christ came on the scene. They've been preaching the gospel of the kingdom is at hand. A literal, visible kingdom on this earth that God's going to set up someday. Now, he said, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. Then shall the end come, when ye, therefore, shall see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. The holy place would be in that temple. Stand in the holy place. Whosoever read, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. In other words, get out of there. He's going in there, set up an idol, set up his abomination, say, I'm God, the sacrifice is going to cease, and everything. Now, so there'll be tares among the wheat, just like they are now, in the body of Christ, but in that kingdom, there'll be tares that have sown, that the enemy has sown them. There'll be people that say, I am Jew, and they'll find out not. Turn over to Revelation. Revelation. Now, I'm setting it up for the book of Hebrews. Folks, they got to have something to go by. God will not leave that remnant without a witness, without something in this book that they can go by. Now, look in Revelation. And notice what he says in Revelation chapter 2. In Revelation chapter 2, he's talking to the seven churches. Notice in verse 8, and unto the angel of the church of Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was and is alive, I know thy works, and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich, and I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. There'll be people in that time period that will be saying that I'm of the seed of Abraham, and they're tares among the wheat. And at the end of the world, the angels are going to come and going to gather the wheat, separate the wheat from the tares. The tares will be burned with fire, and the wheat will be put into the garner, and that's into the kingdom. Now, do y'all understand just what I said? So that there's going to be sacrificing going on. And so God put a book in that Bible to show those wheat children, the seed children, they don't need that sacrifice to get out of the camp. Are y'all with me? Now, let's look at the book of Hebrews. Any questions on what I said? All right, turn back to Hebrews and look in Hebrews. Now, folks, I'm gonna be like Hank Snow sung that song. Who sung it? I'm moving on or something like that. And I've been everywhere and all that. But anyway, look at Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. I want you to understand what this book's about. You got the time period. It's the church has gone up. One of these days, we're gone up. We have nothing to do with the wrath of God. We are the children of the day, not of the night. The children of the day. We have nothing to do with this time period over here. But I'm going to say, let that represent. There'll be 3.5 years on this side, 3.5 years on this side, and then the second coming of Christ will be here when he comes back down over there in Revelation chapter 19. In this time period, the doctrine for these people is Hebrews through Revelation. They will look at that books just like you look at Romans through Philemon. They will not be. There'll be some that will probably be preaching Romans through Philemon over here. And just like there are today, men that will preach Hebrews through Revelation for doctrine for the body of Christ. Now, you understand, we can go over here to the book of Hebrews and make a spiritual application. There are three applications you make to every verse in your Bible. There's a historical application, there is a spiritual application, and there is a doctrinal application. And so all the Bible's for me, it's for my learning, it's for my admonition, it's for me, but it's not all to me as a member of the body of Christ. Doctrinally. Now I can go over here and I can make spiritual applications out of these passages and preach them as I apply them. Just like Paul did, Kevin brought out how Paul used Genesis chapter 1 to show you about the light to shine in darkness. Paul is making a spiritual application from the creation to show you what happens when the Holy Spirit illuminates and opens your eyes through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul, in Romans through Philemon, he makes spiritual applications to Old Testament prophets, from Old Testament books and prophets to show, get a truth across unto the body of Christ. But doctrinally is what I'm dealing with now. Now look in Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1 in verse 2. Number 1. If you want to mark them down, however how you want to do it. Number 1. Verse 2. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he appointed heirs of all things, whom also he made the worlds. Then that's the first thing I see. Last days. The book of Hebrews deals with Jesus Christ, starting with Jesus Christ, and he's speaking in the last days. Last days of what? Prophecy, folks. There's only 7 years left of prophecy, and when you come across when he talks about it's at hand, it's a prophecy on last days and last time and all that, they're talking about the last days of prophecy, not the body of Christ or the last days of mystery. Now look on. That's the next thing I want you to see. Look in chapter 2. In chapter 2, verse 3. How shall, you know that one little word, we? People want to make like Paul wrote it. Well, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him? Now, how did the writer of Hebrews get the message of that salvation? Anybody want to take a wild guess? And was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him. Who is them that heard Him? How about just putting down the 12 disciples right beside that verse? The Lord began to speak to those disciples about salvation. In fact, here's the salvation if you want to know what it is. Turn back to Luke. Hurry now, we got to move on. Look in Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. And I don't have time to read it all, but Zacharias, verse 67, his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied. So the Spirit of God's talking through him. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for He hath visited and redeemed His people, and has raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of His servant David, as He spake by the mouth of His holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all them that hate us. Well, folks, that's what they always wanted. They're looking for that salvation from the people that hate them. I don't have time to run the reference. You can go back to Isaiah 29. You can find it back there. I mean, the salvation, how shall we escape if we neglect that great salvation which at first began to be spoken by the Lord? He began to preach at the beginning of the gospel of the kingdom. He preached the kingdom is at hand and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him. Paul never got his message from the 12. He said he received it by revelation. He said neither was I taught it. He didn't hear it. Nobody taught him. But by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Look in verse 3 or 5. Here's the third point. For unto the angel hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we what? Now what world to come is he talking about? It has to be the kingdom, folks. Get kingdom in your mind. It's a book for the kingdom. The world to come. Look at whereof we speak. The writer of Hebrews talking about the world to come. Notice, come down with me. Let's try it again. Come over to chapter verse 12. Chapter 2, verse 12. Saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. Where in the world did you ever read where Jesus Christ sang in the midst of the church? In Matthew chapter 26. Turn to Matthew chapter 26. We're not going to make it, are we? I already see that. Verse 29, he talks about verse 28. This is the blood of the New Testament there in the upper room, which is shed for many for remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. And folks, there's only 12 men up there with him. And when he had sung a hymn, or when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. He's in the midst of the church, the little flock up there. He sings a hymn. Hebrews talks about saying, I will declare, out of Psalms, I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the church when I sing praise unto thee. You know that ain't got nothing to do with you. Verse 13, and again I will put my trust in him, and again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. And in John chapter 17, verses 6 through 12, over and over, he talks about the children that thou hast given me. The 12. Come down to verse, let's go to chapter 3. In chapter 3. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. A period of time there. Well, the end would be the end of tribulation or the end of your life, right? You're made a partaker if you're in his house, if you hold the fast of confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Well, you know that's not church doctrine. You are made a partaker of Christ. You are part of his body. You are part of the house of God. It doesn't matter whether you hold anything or not. Look in verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. That's number six. Six things that not church doctrine. A heart of evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Verse 14. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. We're made a partaker of Christ if we hold fast. The end would be over here at the second coming of Christ. In Matthew 24, he said, he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. This is where they get their sins blotted out over there. This is when they get their sins atoned for. This is when the high priest comes from without the veil and they realize that their sacrifice has been accepted at the second coming of Christ. They'll be made partakers. Well, folks, you're already a partaker of Christ. You're bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. You're one with him. You're he that joined to the Lord is one spirit. Verse 18. And to whom swore he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not. So likewise, they could not enter in because of unbelief. What would keep them from entering into that rest? Unbelief. Well, you're already in the rest. But look on. Go to chapter 4. Let us therefore, because of the unbelief, heart of unbelief, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left of us of eternal entering in to his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Well, what if you did, folks? We've all sinned, come short of the glory of God, every one of us. These people have to, if they want to enter into that rest, they can't come short. They got to fear. Well, folks, you don't have to fear and strive to enter into that rest. The rest would be over here. It's the seventh day. And just put it like that. It's a day of rest. God rested on the seventh day. Look on with me. Verse 2, for unto us was the gospel preached. Now, that right there tells you Paul didn't write the book of Hebrews. Unto us the gospel was preached, as well as unto them. Them is the Old Testament that they didn't get into the promised land. It's the good news of that land. It's the gospel of the circumcision. The promises made to the Israel. The good promise was preached to us as well as unto them. Paul, he never received that gospel. But the word preached did not profit them, being mixed with faith in them that heard it. They didn't believe it. That's number 10. Let's try number verse 4. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise. And God did rest the seventh day from all his works. So it has to do with the seventh day. All the book of Hebrews is talking about is entering in for out of here into this day of rest, which is the kingdom that's going to be established. Look in verse 12. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached enter not in because of unbelief. These Old Testament saints didn't enter in, a lot of them, because they quit believing. They lost their salvation. These over here in this time period, if they quit believing, if they turn from the Lord, they won't enter into that rest. What are they going to get? They're going to get the fire. We'll look at that in a moment. Look over with me. Chapter 4, verse 8. For if Jesus, that would be Joshua, had given them rest, then would he not after have spoken of another day. That's in the Old Testament. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as did God from his. In other words, they're not going on. They'll cease from the works when they enter into that rest. Now look at the next verse. Let us what? Labor therefore to enter into that rest. They got the work to get in it. But it's not by works of righteousness for you. You're not striving and laboring to enter in God's rest. You trust what Jesus did for you on the cross, and you're in His body, not your doctrine. Let us therefore, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Then that's 14. Look at verse 14. Seeing then that we have a high priest. Nowhere did Paul ever tell you you had a high priest. You don't have a high priest. You're not part of Israel, folks. You're not part of the Levitical priesthood. You don't have a high priest. You have a Savior, the man Christ Jesus. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Verse 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The time of need would be over here in the tribulation, and they got to get grace to get through that. They come boldly. Bless your heart, I don't come boldly to the throne of grace to find help in the time of need. I'm in the grace. In fact, I got to do that. Turn back to Romans chapter 5. In Romans chapter 5. In Romans chapter 5, notice what he said. Therefore, and therefore links chapter 4. If you want to go back to it, verse 24, 4,
24, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, that would be His righteousness, if we believe on Him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses, and was raised again for our justification. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Then we have access, we're in that grace, we stand in that grace, we're in the grace of God, we're in the goodness of God, we're blessed with all spiritual praise. I don't have to go to the throne of grace to find grace and mercy. I found it at Calvary, and I'm in it. By care, that's where my grace and mercy was at. These people, they got to get grace. Look in chapter 5, verse 9, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And the perfectness there is resurrection. Being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all that what? Whoa. Obey him? You want to look at something? Turn to Acts. Look in Acts chapter 5. You want to see the doctrine toward it? See if you meet it? Look in Acts chapter 5. Verse 32. I'm going to read verse 31. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be the Prince and a Savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. At his second coming now. Verse 32. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. Look in Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. In Revelation chapter 12, there are commandments that's given to those people. You can read about them in 1 John. You can read them about them in 2 John. You can read about them in James. Commandments. They're to love one another. The royal law. You're to love one another as you do yourself. And how dwelleth the love of God in you? If you can't love your brother whom you have seen, how dwelleth the love of God? How do you love God whom you haven't seen? And on the law. Look what he said in Revelation chapter 12. And notice in verse 17. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Look in chapter 14, verse 12. In chapter 14, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus Christ. Folks, they get the Holy Spirit in here if they obey Him, if they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. If they get the Holy Spirit just like it did in the book of Acts, they'd be baptized, they'd have the hands laid on them, they'd be baptized with the Spirit, they'd have that anointing, that unction, as long as they obeyed Him. But if they turn in unbelief, then boom, they're gone. Come back to Hebrews again. In Hebrews, notice in chapter 5 again, Hebrews chapter 5, them that obey. Look down with me in chapter 6. In chapter 6, verse 4, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened, just like Kevin was talking about, and have tasted the heavenly gift. The heavenly gift made partakers of the Holy Ghost. The heavenly gift would be the Holy Spirit. And have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. They had it all, folks. They had the anointing, the unction. They had the baptism with the Spirit. They were baptized. They were believing. If they shall fall away, to renew them again to repentance. It's impossible to renew people in that time period again to repentance if they fall away through unbelief. Folks, don't you see it? You lose your salvation here. But you as a member of the body of Christ can't. This is not church doctrine. Paul could not have written the book of Hebrews. He ain't a hypocrite. So while he's writing to people going through, why would the apostle of the Gentiles, the one chief of sinners for the body of Christ, the apostle to us, write 13 books to us doctrinally and then turn around and write something to the Jews? I don't believe that. Because he's always including himself. You know that little word, we? How shall we escape? If we neglect, and Paul couldn't have been saved in this program because he was a blasphemer of the Holy Spirit. Why would God use the blasphemer to write? No, no way. Look in verse 8. If they fall away, to renew them again in repentance. He gives an example. Verse 7, for the earth which drinketh in the rain cometh often upon it. Verse 8, but that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and 9, the cursed, whose end is to be burned. That's the Advent fire. You know, they get burned. They get the fire. They get the judgment if they fall away. If they fall away, they begin to bring forth briars and thistles, and they're rejected. Look in, down in verse 11. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence of full assurance of hope unto the end, end of the tribulation. Come over with me to chapter 7. Chapter 7. For verse 12, for the priesthood being changed, there is made a necessity of a change also of the law. You want to know what that change is? Look in verse 27. Who needeth not daily as those high priests offer the sacrifice, first for his own sins and then for the people. For this he did once when he offered up himself. Now he's going into the sacrificial part of it. Went through the unbelief, went through all of that. Now he's going to show them people they have a high priest. They have a sacrifice. They don't need no sacrifice in that temple. Jesus Christ was their sacrifice. And he said the law had changed. Why? Well, they had to do it every year continuously. But daily in that temple. But he did it once and for all. Look in chapter 8. In chapter 8, verse 6. But now he hath obtained a more excellent ministry, the Lord, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. That better covenant, look over in chapter 9, verse 15. Verse 15, and for this cause, he is the mediator of the what testament? New Testament. Well, what does Paul say about him? Turn to look in, hang on to Timothy, and come over there in verse chapter 2, 1 Timothy chapter 2. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, who have all men to be saved, come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. You know, it's fascinating. Back there where we read in Matthew, he said he gave himself a ransom in Matthew 20, a ransom for many. Paul said he's given himself a ransom for all. He's the mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, where I am ordained a preacher and apostle. Jesus Christ to the body of Christ is not no mediator of the New Testament. You're no part of the New Testament. You have no part down here. You're not waiting over here to drink the wine with the Lord in His kingdom. We already are in Him. You all know something fascinating? Hang on though, and turn back to Colossians. In Colossians chapter 1. Notice in Colossians chapter 1. Notice verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath what? Translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Bless your heart, I'm already there. I'm just waiting on a body where I can function out there. I'm already in the kingdom of His dear Son. I have been just like Enoch. I was translated. Notice in chapter, come on back again in chapter 8, a better covenant. He's the mediator. That's 22 verses that I've done read. Look in verse 13. And that he said, verse 12, 8:12, for I will be merciful unto their unrighteous, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. In that he said, a new covenant. He had made the first old. Now watch it. Now that which decayeth and waxes old is ready to vanish away. Well, whoever wrote this, the old hadn't vanished away, yet it was ready to vanish away and go into the new. Look in chapter 9. Chapter 9. In chapter 9, verse 14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? You know why they'd have to have their conscience purged? That brought remembrance of sin continuously. The blood of goats and bulls could not take away sin. They'd have a conscience of it all the time. That's what religion plays on people now. They try to bring you into have a guilt conscience about it so they can get you in the aisle, walk the aisle, and come down here, and then you go out, and 2 days later you're ready to walk that aisle again in your old conscience, and they just condemn you all the time. Well, I want to tell you something, folks. If you're saved by the grace of God, God Almighty has wiped the slate clean for you. And you walk in that grace knowing that Jesus Christ has paid it all. And although you slip and fall and you're sorry about it and you get up, but you just realize I'm saved by the grace of God. And you know what real grace is, folks? He knew how you'd live after He saved you, and He saved you anyway. You say, well, I'll just go out and do anything. Well, if you can go out and do anything and bring a reproach against His name, then maybe you hadn't been saved to start with. Maybe you just got some religion. Look in the passage. He said, verse 15, for this cause He's the mediator of the New Testament. We done went through that. Come down to verse 28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. Well, not according to Paul's doctrine. He was a mediator for all. A ransom for all. And unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation. That's when they get it. That'll be in many. Look over in chapter 10, and I'm going to just read these things and go on. He said in verse 16, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord, I'll put My laws into their heart, and in their minds will I write them. Verse 13 will tell you after the hint. Verse 13, he sacrificed for sins. Verse 12, sat down on the right hand of God from henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. This is where the enemies will be made the footstool for Christ. Tribulation. When he's going to shake this world. And he says there, he talks about it, after those days. Those days is right in here. After those days, and in the second coming, he'll put the kingdom. They'll have their laws put in there. That's not church doctrine. Verse 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiness by the blood of Christ. Well, I ain't entered into the holiness. I'm a part of the body of Christ. Come on down with me, verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart, a full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from the evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. There's the water baptism. They got to get their bodies washed, come in there and look to the cross and all that. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. You don't have to hold fast nothing. Come down to verse 26. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. Well, what's going to happen? But a certain fearful looking for of judgment, fiery indignation, which defy the adversaries. You become an adversary. Turn from the Lord, fall away, you're his adversary. Due to spite to the Spirit of grace, he will become his enemy. On and on the thing goes. You lose your salvation. You couldn't make this church doctrine if you tried. And people do because they want that. Look down in verse 31, of 29, of sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who have trodden underfoot the Son of God, and have counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified, unholy thing, done despite under the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. Fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. On and on, judgment, judgment, judgment. If you lived in these time periods right now, folks, there wouldn't be nobody in here alive. Do you understand that? God is dealing today in grace. Verse 10:38. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back my soul, have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back under destruction or perdition, but them that believe to the saving of the soul. I went through, and I'm going to close, because I just can't, you go through them. But over 40, almost 45 different verses out of 13 chapters in that book tells me that Paul couldn't have wrote the book of Hebrews. I didn't give you over 30. And tells me it's not church doctrine. Don't let people pull the wool over your eyes. Believe the book. Shake hands with one another and you can go.